Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
We want to get to a company everybody knows so well. It's the largest online retailer in the world, touching seemingly every aspect of our lives, certainly my life. Retail, groceries, healthcare, entertainment, home security, logistics, and the cloud infrastructure that makes up the backbone of the internet. We are, of course, talking about Amazon, the nearly $2 trillion company that actually would get earnings next week.
Critics, though, have also argued that Amazon is also a monopoly. And last year, the FTC filed a monopoly lawsuit against Amazon in what may become one of the largest antitrust cases in the 21st century. A new book out today chronicles how Amazon got to be where it is today to become one of the most feared companies in the world. Dana Mattioli is a senior reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her new book is The Everything War, Amazon's Ruthless Quest to Own the World and Remake Corporate Power. Dana joins us here in the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. Congratulations on the new book. It starts with Lina Khan's Amazon antitrust paradox. And this was the Lina Khan pre-FTC. This was like 27 years old, Yale Law. It's an article, but it is so instrumental in looking at Amazon's monopoly power. Explain why that is.
Yeah, she was a relative unknown at the time. And law review articles typically have a small base of readers. This one goes viral. And it's the first time that people start to piece the words Amazon and monopoly together in the same sentence. This was a darling of the company. People love their Prime. They just associate it with fast and free shipping. And she starts to call out behavior she sees that she thinks are unintended consequences and a change in the way antitrust was being enforced. And she thinks that Amazon is this digital Gilded Age baron.
Well, when we think about it, right, you go back to those barons, right, and who really just controlled industries, right, no competition, if you will, a Standard Oil and others. And it is interesting because, you know, Dana, I always think about Amazon, what they started with, right, and books, and it sounded so innocent and just kind of, you know, it's become so much a part of our world. I mean, I know in our own home, it's like we buy something, but let's go check on Amazon, first of all, what it's going to cost and, you know, how quickly we can get it. I mean, it's become so entrenched in our life. Talk to us a little bit more about, you know, what Lina Khan had to say and how you wanted to kind of explore that.
Yeah, so Lina's paper says that Amazon's almost become this utility. It's unavoidable, not just for consumers, but for competitors. It's become like this highway to get to the internet through AWS, and sellers need to be on the website to sell because so much of e-commerce takes place there, 40% in the US. And she was saying that just because at the time, Amazon was known for low prices, which was the way that was like the litmus test for antitrust enforcement and during this period, it didn't mean there weren't other things that were happening, like tying or predatory pricing or other behaviors that would have been criticized or enforced in different regimes of antitrust enforcement. And from there, her career just really takes off. It's this truly meteoric rise. She's 27 years old at the time.
That's pretty amazing.
She is now the youngest chair in the FTC's 100-year history, and she's regulating the exact agency that is in battle with Amazon.
And as you note, that there is a lawsuit, a monopoly lawsuit against the company from the FTC. It may become one of the largest antitrust cases in the 21st century. How do you envision that playing out?
It's a really interesting one. The FTC's lawsuit is about Amazon raising prices on consumers, which is much different from the article she first penned in 2017, where she said that they were predatory pricing. But in the interim years, the case is that, you know, Amazon was building a monopoly. They had to undercut the market to gain market share. Today, they have that monopoly, and they're able to charge monopoly rent. You could start putting all these fees on their sellers because they know they have to be there, and that's the iteration we're at right now, where these sellers are being compressed, their margins are being compressed, and they're being forced to raise their prices on consumers, meaning that consumers pay more.
You know, is it akin to, and we're going to take a break in just a moment, but and maybe we just kind of plant this idea, but this akin to something like, you know, a Walmart or one of the big box retailers and what they've done to small business kind of on Main Street. Is it kind of like akin to that in terms of what Amazon has done? Like, you know, these smaller sellers have to be on their platform, but it's not easy for them.
Yeah, if you look at the last few decades, Amazon's almost become like the 1990s boogeyman that Walmart was to Main Street.
Yeah.
But it's been replaced with Amazon and their effects, not just on Main Street, though, in other industries as well.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Hey, I want to get back to our guest, Dana Mattioli, senior reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her new book, The Everything War, Amazon's Ruthless Quest to Own the World and Remake Corporate Power. Dana, one thing that caught my eye was a story recently about Amazon coming out and saying, okay, we're now making this small announcement, announcing unlimited grocery delivery for $9.99 a month for Whole Foods. On that news, we saw shares of Instacart fall by more than 7%. We also saw shares of Walmart fall by more than 1.7%. Talk a little bit about how that relates to the idea in your book of a company amassing so much power that just a little announcement can cause destruction in shareholder value of competitors.
This is a very long-running theme. Anytime Amazon even files the slightest patent or makes a hire from another sector, Wall Street makes very vocal bets on Amazon's ability to just dominate ever new industries. There's a whole scene in the book where CVS is buying Aetna because they're worried about Amazon getting into the healthcare space and taking their pharmacy business from them, right? So this is something that CEOs are on really high alert about. And, you know, Wall Street doesn't really give the incumbents the benefit of the doubt here.
You know, I'm thinking about this, and Amazon is what now, roughly a $1.8 trillion market cap company. Apple's a lot bigger. It's about $2.6 trillion. You know, what is it about Amazon that just puts it in a whole different category in terms of some of the concerns that you cite in the book? And how was it allowed to kind of get here? Because it's pretty amazing how many different walks of our lives that it's involved in nowadays.
Well, I think it's pretty telling. All the major big tech companies are now the focus of antitrust lawsuits.
Yeah.
And there's been this change in attitude toward them after the tech lash. I would say while Apple is obviously ubiquitous too, like we all have iPhones, right? Amazon is unavoidable in some respects. I mean, they underpin a lot of the technology we use. I took a Lyft here, they're on AWS. If you watch Netflix, they're on AWS. In the middle of reporting the book, they bought my doctor's office. They bought One Medical, right?
Yeah.
So even if you're trying to avoid them, they've now have their tentacles in so many areas. And I think that, you know, analysts are on high alert to see where they're going next.
Is it harmful to consumers though?
Right.
The FTC says it is. That's the focus of the lawsuit. They say that Amazon has raised prices for consumers, not just on Amazon, but in the entire online economy because of their outsized power in online shopping. And in addition to the prices, 60% of what is sold on Amazon is third-party sellers. And there's some great ones out there, but there's also been instances of really dangerous products on the website that I think a lot of customers aren't, you know, hip to. There's things like carbon monoxide detectors that don't detect carbon monoxide.
No, it's interesting that you say that. There was something my husband and I were looking at, and I'm like, John, I don't really know that company. Let's check it out, because there's a lot of listings. My view, don't judge me, but there's a lot of junk, I feel like, that's also on Amazon. And I feel like, have these companies been checked out? In other words, their reliability.
There's not very much friction to sign up.
Just one perspective, one view.
Yeah. There's fly-by-night sellers, and it's a game of whack-a-mole. Even when they do shut them down, they pop up with a new name or a new address, and it's really hard to rid a platform with just that many sellers of all the bad actors, which does lead to people buying dangerous products.
But it does make you, what's the responsibility, right? This is this big, broader conversation with all of these social media companies and these companies that have, you know, so many users, right? That you do wonder about the responsibility of trusting the platform when you're on it.
And that's the exact focus of the CPSC right now. They're looking into whether Amazon has shirked their responsibility in regulating their website, and there could be a ruling on that.
And just because I'm going to get hate mail or called in by my boss's junk, and I mean by junk, I don't really mean like, I just mean that questionable maybe sources and stuff. And as a buyer, yep, I can read reviews, but it's also like there is, I think, an understanding that you're on this website that you think a lot of it is trustworthy and that it's been vetted in some ways.
I mean, my colleagues at the Wall Street Journal had a big story a few years ago about how some of these third-party sellers were literally dumpster diving and reselling trash. That wouldn't really happen at so if you walk into your Target.
It's not such a bad word.
Carol, I think fair to say. You're in the clear. You interviewed hundreds of people, Amazon executives, competitors, small businesses. Talk a little bit about what you found over the last few years and how Amazon got to this place.
Yeah, they are this behemoth of a company with unprecedented reach and access to data and leverage because of how big they are. So if you look at how they started, it was this online bookseller. No one even knew how successful it would be. I think it was a surprise to Jeff, including Jeff. There's a scene in the book.
They didn't make money for it. They weren't profitable for a long time.
No, they had a free pass from Wall Street for a very long time, which helped them get to where they are. And there's a scene in the book that in the first few weeks after it launches, one of their employees is a little bit nervous. He says, what's going to happen to like Elliott Bay, this beloved Seattle bookstore? And Jeff's like, oh, we could never get rid of Elliott Bay. People love it too much. And to his credit, that's still there. But think of the compression of the rest of the bookstores in this country. It's like been a very steep decline. And he wanted this to be a daily habit, and I'd say he more than succeeded there. So just beyond retail, it's the largest cloud computing company in the U.S., the biggest parcel carrier. It's a Hollywood studio, a podcast maker, a healthcare giant. I mean, and it's going into ever more places. There's a scoop in the book that Andy Jassy, the current CEO, in the midst of regulators saying you're too big, is saying we could be a $10 trillion company in 10 years. I mean, that's pretty telling that they see that much more space ahead of them.
You know, Apple, we talk a lot about that by having this closed network, it makes it kind of almost a seamless experience. And that is a benefit for consumers, right? They argue that. Is there something that just by being big, making it evil and so entrenched? Or is it somewhere maybe on the other side that it actually is something that's helpful, whether it's, you know, getting health care to people who wouldn't normally get it? Like, you know, I'm trying to understand what the flip side might be of building this massive infrastructure and massive network.
Yeah,
I think devil's advocate a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think big is necessarily bad. I think it's how you use your bigness. And the book does get into some tactics that Amazon has used and predatory behaviors, the patterns of this that have played out that have caused people to question how they're using their power.
You didn't interview Jeff Bezos, but he did answer questions based on representatives from Amazon. What was their pushback on the points that you raised in the book?
I think most of it was off the record, so I can't get into specifics, but I did a full fact check of the book. This was not, you know, a product of Access Journalism by any means, but I spoke to more than 600 people. I spoke to 17 current and former S team members. Those are the highest ranks of the company that had reported to Jeff or Andy Jassy, and 5 current and former board members. So it's very well reported out. And I had hundreds of pages of internal documents and emails and the like.
What's the thing that's going to be kind of on your radar as this plays out? Just got about 30
yeah,
seconds.
Yeah, well, the FTC lawsuit won't go to court until 2026. And, you know, I think that could
help. It's a
while. Yeah, it's a while. And I'm curious to see what Amazon does in the interim. Funnily enough, a few weeks after the lawsuit was filed, there was an Amazon All Hands meeting that I had a video to. Mm-hmm. And their general counsel was asked his thoughts on the lawsuit. And he got on stage and he was like a bit dismissive. He said, you know, haters are going to hate. We're going to shake it off. Taylor Swift there. So I think that's everything.
Taylor Swift is in everything.
Yeah.
She really is.
She's not on my playlist. Not that latest album.
I bet you can find it on Amazon Music, though.
Other stuff I like. Great. So much fun to have you. Dana Mattioli, she's senior reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her new book, The Everything War, Amazon's Ruthless Quest to Own the World and Remake Corporate Power. Amazon, by the way, reports earnings April 30th.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.